this is Carlos Castellanos, and I'm here with my good pal,
Bob Ostrom.
That's not how it's supposed to go.
That didn't sound familiar at all.
Hi, this is Bob Ostrom, and I'm out here with nature today. I'm here with my good buddy,
Carlos Castellanos.
And welcome to another episode of Drawn by Success. What have you been up to lately? I hear that you were at an event recently.
Well, you know, recently I went to Be the Change event up in Orlando, which we went together to last year.
And we it was a good event. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, we missed you this year. Artist Ally Loop, which we've interviewed before here on Drawn by Success, was there. Her husband, Arjun, which is a marketing genius, and a few other people that I saw last year were there and had a chance to speak with them. So it was a good event. Nice 3 days of, you know, getting away from the daily to-dos here at the office and just being able to get away and get together with some other entrepreneurs and see some success stories and see how people are evolving their business. So it was kind of nice. It was a nice 3 days away.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a really nice feature about that event that I thought was pretty cool, which was they did a live simulcast. And we were able to watch part of the event online. I don't know if any of our listeners were able to get out there and check that out, but I did see you, Carlos, in the background when they had people going up to the mic. I saw you positioned yourself well. The only thing that you were missing was the Drawn by Success logo shirt.
Yeah, I tried to have them inset the Drawn by Success logo, you know, to just have it come across the screen on the bottom third for branding, but it didn't work out.
You'd have to be a good hacker to get that across. Yeah, so tell me a little bit about the event. You know, I know that we stress getting out of the office once in a while and you know, and meeting new people and that kind of thing. What was it about this particular event that got you motivated?
Well, you know, the event last year, we went with a couple of I met a couple of mastermind friends from South Florida up there that were also attending. And of course, you and I roomed together. So this year, compared to last year, it was an enormous event. I mean, they had close to 700 people in that same ballroom that we were in last year. Last year, I think they had like 200 and something or 300 people.
Yeah, yeah. So they were packed in there this year, huh?
Yeah, they really outdid themselves. And it's just, you know, I love, like, a lot of people will go there and just sit and absorb all the information that the speakers are sharing. I tend to find myself, I mean, I absorb a lot of that stuff, but I tend to find myself sometimes in the back of the room just kind of watching how that event is put together. You
sure.
know, because it really is like you have, you know, like, I don't know, a staff of like maybe 15 or 16 people all with headsets on communicating to each other. It's like you're on the set of Oprah or something. So
it really is huge. I mean, it is quite an event. It's not just somebody stepping up onto a stage and having a mic. I mean, there's a whole production that goes behind the thing too.
Yeah. And that's the part that I really enjoy looking at is how sure. they're putting that together. You know, you have all the lighting people, the rigging people that had a live DJ there. They have the people in the back of the room, you know, selling t-shirts, programs, all sorts of stuff. You have people behind the stage, setting things up, see people on both sides. You know, from a business standpoint, I mean, that's what I love. I just love to see how businesses are put together and how people, you know, 'cause it's not just what you see on the front or on the cover. It's the whole backside behind the curtain is really what interests me. And I just love watching all of that going on.
Yeah, it's quite a production. I was really impressed with it when I went down there. I think the year that I was there with you, the opening, I wasn't really prepared for it, but the, you know, all of a sudden, like there's a guy playing guitar. Next thing you know, there's a choir on stage.
Yeah, they make it.
There's TV cameras beaming this thing everywhere.
Yeah, they make it a real event. I mean, you know, they make it fun. I mean, you're going to be there, you know, 3 days. So, you know, it's an event full of marketing ideas, and of course, they're selling stuff, and there's a lot of businesses there, you know, great networking environment. But, you know, at the same time, it's entertaining. You know, you're spending 3 days with a lot of, you know, like-minded individuals, and you want to learn something, come away with, you know, some networking partners that you can possibly do business with down the road and have a good time at the same time. You know, it's an experience. And, you know, Suzanne always talks about, and I think we've talked about it too in the past, is that, you know, you're not just selling artwork, you're selling an experience to people. The experience sure. of working with you, it's, Yeah, I mean, people, you know, as an artist, I think, you know, art buyers will select what they want, you know, the artist they're looking for based on their portfolio and the work you have. But there's also other elements in there that dictate, you know, the kind of prices that you can charge and the kind of clients that you're going to attract. And that's the experience of working with you, the, you know, your personality, what you bring to the table other than your artwork. And, you know, in an event like this, it becomes evident that, you know, it's really an experience what they're selling.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It gives new meaning to the phrase go big or go home, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry I wasn't able to get down there. I would have liked to have said hello to everybody and dropped in on that event. It would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we missed you. This year, I wanted to get a couple of interviews, and I tried to pull out some creative people that were in the audience in attendance. Uh-huh. Now, you know, like last year, I mean, it's hour to hour. It's constant. You know, it's a lot of information. We get a couple of breaks during the day, but, you know, overall it's, you know, you're always talking to somebody or someone's introducing themselves to you or, you know, so it's kind of hard to kind of break out and get those interviews. But I met a handful of artists out there, a couple of graphic designers, a copywriter, a couple of video people, Ali Loop I interviewed.
Great. I'd love to hear from her again.
Yeah. So actually I was going to record and I had someone was going to follow me with my little flip camera and kind of record as I, you know, spoke to people. And I met this guy named Geej Mariva. He's a website designer and video and audio guy. And he was one of the guys that I wanted to interview. And he said, you know, if you want, I'll go ahead and video all this stuff for you. So we did most of our videos right there in front of his booth. And he took care of all that. He's doing all the editing as we speak. And so I made a few good contacts over there. Really cool people.
Excellent. So what do we got coming up? I mean, we were let's see, last time we got together, we were talking about the blueprint. We had a bunch of people come on and we did a live call with that. And
well, yeah, I've got some marketing stuff that I'd like to share with you today in regards to the event in Orlando that I went to.
Sure.
You know, obviously there's a lot of notes, a lot of things that I came away with, but maybe just a few things that kind of stuck out for me. Because I go to these events and I think, okay, internally, what am I getting from this and how does it apply to me? Because we all have these holes in our behavior and things that we should be doing or can improve on. And also from the standpoint of, you know, my clients that I work with. So, you know, what can apply to them and what things do I see in that they're doing that the information I'm getting from some of these events can apply to. So I came away with a small list of a couple of things that I wanted to go over.
Okay, so let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about some of these things. Tell me, you know, what was it that struck your mind and what did you watch?
Well, you know, one of the things that from the event from I think it was the first day that I was there that really kind of struck a chord with me was they were talking about 7 ways to stay broke. So the title caught me right away.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But really, you know, 7 ways to stay broke. They talked about lies as number 1, complaining, number 2, prophesizing, whining, settling, regrets, and stopping.
All right, so first one is lying.
Yeah, so the first one, lying, is really, you know, how we show up in our business, right? So, I mean, a lot of us we say we're freelancing, we say we're in business, right?
Yeah.
But we don't necessarily conduct ourselves like we're really operating a business. It's in your mindset.
Yeah. So somebody comes to you and they've got a job or whatever, and then it turns out that you're either flaky or you don't know what you're doing or you're just kind of winging it.
Also, how you show up in your personal life. I mean, aside from your business and operating your business, and how you pay your bills, if you're late in paying your bills,
right.
Or if you're mispaying bills. I have a few clients that have struggled with that in the past, and I think as freelancers or, you know, independent business owners, we always have, you know, that cash flow problem, right? Because
sure,
you go through these feast and famine cycles occasionally.
You're paid in bulk sums, you know, not right. Like a weekly check, right?
Exactly, gotcha. Right. Because a lot of artists complain about clients not paying them on time. Right. And yet they're out paying people late and, you know, holding up the money. So it just has a bad karma filter. And also, you know, how are you going to expect realistically to, because this money thing is huge. How realistically are you going to expect people to pay you on time and pay you your fees when you say they're due when you yourself aren't paying people when they need to be paid?
Yeah. You know, this reminds me, Maria Brophy wrote an excellent article about getting paid from people. I would highly encourage our listeners to check her out. It had to do with you know, what happens if you get stiffed or that kind of thing. And she wrote a really good article about how to address that and how to keep that from happening with your business. I think we could put a link to it in the show notes.
Okay, we'll do that. Yeah, because I remember reading that, and it was an excellent post, by the way.
In general, I would just say check out her blog. You know, it's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, a lot of that is that comes under lying and, you know, and possibly under delivering to clients, you know, in maybe not so much the work that you deliver, but maybe in the experience that you deliver and working with you. Right. You know, are you one of these pain in the ass, you know, artists?
So being professional and don't be flaky.
Right. Yeah. So also complaining. You don't know anybody that complains, do you, Bob?
No. Look, we all get caught up in this one a lot. You know, people get caught up in the complaining thing, but it's one thing to complain a little here and there about, you know, this or that or whatever. I think we're talking about the bigger picture of complaining all the time, getting online, complaining about your clients, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we've seen that.
By the way, don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, also, you know, this is another one of those things, is the energy that you put out is the energy that comes back to you. So in general, if you, you know, if your energy is negative, people pick up on that, you know, and they'll find that through your social media or whatever. And then, you know, that it attracts a different type of client to you as well, you know. And so you may end up with people that you don't necessarily want to do business with. And you got to look at that and say, okay, you know, what am I doing that's attracting this type of person to me?
Well, you know, what I found with complaining is that it attracts other complainers.
Oh, yeah, it does.
You know, the minute you start complaining about something, all of a sudden people that want to complain have just been sitting on the fence waiting for someone to throw their hat into the ring so they can complain as well. Be really, really careful about that. I mean,
it's not a productive use of your time.
Yeah. Also, prophesize was one of the other ones that we talked about.
Tell me about this, because what does this mean?
Well, prophesize is more about, you know, talking about what you want to do and
versus actually doing it, or
versus doing it. Yeah. Where you just kind of all these things that you want to do. Like you have people, I've heard a lot of people that are, you know, are working 9 to 5 and they're going to be freelance illustrators sometime and one day soon. And, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, they've never taken the first step to be able to do that.
So this is more about taking action.
Yeah. I mean, you're sitting back and kind of just dreaming about what could be, what's going to be, but you're really not taking that first step ever.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if this happened or that happened?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's a big one that'll keep you broke for a long time. I know I've fallen into that trap quite a bit, because it almost makes you feel, you know, just by stating it and talking about it almost feels like you've taken some action by talking about it.
Yeah, you kind of work through it, and then
right. Yeah. But nothing really, you know, concrete ever happens, so nothing really comes of it. Whining, a little different than complaining, is making excuses.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things about the whining that kind of resonated with me over that weekend was that I was, you know, she had talked about using your kids as an excuse for certain things. A lot of people will say, well, you know, I got to get this for my kids, or I don't have time to do something because of my kids or whatever. And I realized that I use that quite a bit myself.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I coach with my kids. I attend a lot of their games, all of the games and all of their practices. So I'm really kind of involved, and a lot of time goes towards that. So a lot of times when I don't get things done, I tend to say, well, you know, I didn't have the time for that because, you know, I'm busy with my kids.
Right.
And she made me realize that it's not fair, first of all, to whatever it is that I want to accomplish, to be able to throw it on them. And it's not fair to them.
Right.
Because in essence, what I'm doing is I'm blaming them for not stepping up and doing what I need to get done. So what I need to do in this instance, for example, is that I need to prioritize and decide what's going to get done and what's not going to get done, and make a conscious decision, and not say, well, this didn't get done because of this.
Right.
No, it didn't get done because I chose something different to do. If you're one of these people that don't have the time, wake up 1 hour early, or either go to sleep 1 hour later every day and get a full hour's worth of work in. At the end of 365 days, you won't recognize your life.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was just listening to a podcast about this the other day, about developing good habits, over on Duct Tape Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
He was sort of talking about the idea of, you know, productive use of your time. So, you know, check that one out too. We'll put a link in the show notes for that one.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, because we, for the most part, we work by ourselves.
Well, that's just it, you know. So it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to head down the wrong path and to get sucked into something. You know, you do have to give yourself time for downtime to just sort of recoup. They had mentioned on that show that I just was talking about that, you know, most people have like a 90-minute span of focus that they can really work hard, and then, you know, you take a little bit of break and recoup, you know. So he suggested, you know, breaking your day into 90-minute segments. But the trick, I guess, is, you know, are you using your time productively? If you're not, why aren't you using it productively? And then to find a way to address that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one.
Sure.
So then after whining, we have settling, which is basically settling for less than what you can be getting, you know,
so
or
that's,
what you can be achieving.
Carlos, is this the one we were talking about the other day where we were talking about, okay, how much, you know, is this job going to cost? And then you start talking yourself down and sort of, I'm going to be this much. Oh, no, well, maybe they won't pay for that. I'll go this much or that kind of thing. Does that relate?
Absolutely. It's in pricing. It's in the quality of the work that you're doing or the type of work that you're doing, the type of clients that you're working for. Maybe the overall income that you're generating off of your business. You know, if you find yourself thinking, well, this is all that I'm capable of doing, or under the circumstances, this is all I'm worthy of being able to accomplish, or this is all the only thing that's available to me because of the market that we're in, you know, working on too many small projects and not having enough personal time to kind of decompress and really kind of allow your creativity to expand. I mean, that's all part of it. To be successful in business, you need to always be evolving, always be changing and trying new things. If you find yourself settling for less than what you really want, you're going to live your life in regret. And that's basically, you know, our next step. So, I mean, you know, if you're accepting lower fees than you know that you should be getting, you know, there's going to come a point in time where you're going to, after the project and you're midway through that project, you're going to be kicking yourself for taking it on. I know I've been there. And it's a horrible feeling to know that you underpriced yourself, you undervalued your work, and now you're stuck having to do something that you're not happy
with. It's like ER, you know, he's like, I deserved it.
Yeah, right.
I guess it was just something that had happened.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you don't want to live your life in regret. I mean,
no, of course not.
Not only in pricing, but, you know, in your business. I mean, if you're not getting enough clients, if you're not making enough, make a decision to change it. The only time that you have is now to be able to make the changes you want. Make a decision and change it. You know, a great example, I mean, now that you bring up the pricing, I had several clients that prior to us working together, I mean, they were resisting raising their rates for years. But with some gentle, you know, coercing and a little bit of gentle ass kicking, I mean, they finally were able to go ahead and double their rates. And in one case, I mean, on the first time out, you know, you went from a project that they would have normally charged like $1,500 to $2,000 for, charging $4,000 for and getting it. I mean, that's a big leap. I mean, you multiply that over all the jobs that they're going to be getting over the years, and you know, it's a huge income leap. So you know, it's a matter of confronting those things and those issues and whatever is holding you back from actually taking that step. And if it's not something that you can figure out on your own because of whatever, you know, baggage you have internally, then find someone to help you resolve it.
That's a good story.
You know what I mean? But why is it that prior to that, he wasn't doing it, and then all of a sudden, he does it? Well, it's he just made the decision to do it. Do what you need to do. If something sounds like something that's going to move you forward, just bite the bullet, do it, you know, get it done. And then stopping, just giving up. You know, once you throw in the towel, I mean, what else is there? I mean, you're done.
Yeah, so that's basically you're just going to quit, right? So you had a great idea, you followed it to a certain extent, you realized that it wasn't going to work, and then, or not even you realized it wasn't going to work, you were afraid to maybe go forward with it, so you quit. There's a big difference between realizing it's not going to work and not moving forward out of fear.
Right. Those are basically the seven ways to stay broke. So you want to avoid them, I guess.
Now, I'm going to offer an eighth way.
Give us an eighth one.
Okay, procrastination.
Okay.
All right, so let's avoid procrastination. Procrastination is basically just finding yourself sucked into something or making busy work for yourself because you don't want to face it. Procrastination basically has to do with fear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking with you earlier, Carlos, about the blueprint and how I was working on it a little bit differently this year than I have in years past. And I've got a friend of mine who's sort of helping me through it. And we hold each other accountable on a weekly basis for the things that we're supposed to be doing, you know? And so I would recommend this for everybody to go out and find somebody to team up with who's going to help you through that stuff, right? So some people are going to use coaching for that. Some people might want to grab onto a friend who does, you know, who does something similar to what you do or whatever. But to get support to help you through these things is really important. When you're facing some of these issues on your own, it can be really difficult, you know? So if you got somebody standing behind you, kicking you a little bit, it's going to help you get through them. And it's going to help you also see things that you don't necessarily see on your own. Okay, so it's easy for us to overlook things, but it's a lot easier for us to spot those things that are being overlooked in another person, right? So if you can get somebody to help you through this, I would really recommend it.
I found that for me, if the person is too much of a friend that I know too closely, mm-hmm. There are certain things that you know what you can get away with certain people, mm-hmm. And they will let you off the hook, or you'll mm-hmm. let them off the hook. Because of your friendship and because of your sure. past. So sometimes you got to be real careful with that. For me, it's better to have people that I become friends with them over time, but that are people that I look up to.
Sure.
Okay. But they don't have that personal connection, that really deep personal connection with me.
Yeah.
So that they can call me out on something and they don't care if I like it or not.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to pick a friend, make sure that it's somebody who is willing to really push you or call you out on what needs to be called out on.
Right.
Also, it's not a bad idea to have more than one group that you work with. You know, I work with a couple of different people on this kind of thing.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the modified 7, now 8.
Very proud that I had that 8th one in there.
Yeah, I'll forward it to Susanna. I'm sure she'll
she'd appreciate
her slides
that.
For next year.
Well, you know, one other thing before we go, a big thing that Suzanne does at her meetings is to hold people accountable and to say, look, just make a decision. You know, just make a decision. It's the follow through, I think, that a lot of us get stuck on. You know, we try to do too much, or we can't decide between this or that or the other thing, and it ends up, you know, paralyzing us. So one of the things I really like about what she does is, first of all, you know, she holds you accountable, but second of all, you know, she gets you to make that decision.
Yeah, she has a way of just like breaking people down into quivering masses of tears. because she does. I mean, she has that presence about her that, you know, and
she didn't
people
let
that
you get away
there
with it. Yeah.
Are looking to face their inner demons, right? I mean, they're not there to, you know, to mess around. They want to make the shifts that they're looking for, right?
Yeah.
So they take that deep plunge, and yeah, I mean, she has a way of really making you face up to excuses that you might be using to keep yourself where you are. You know, part of the decision thing is that I think that, you know, while you're sitting on the fence trying to make a decision, yeah. is a comfortable place to be. Because it's all about research, taking stuff in, analyzing. It kind of gets back to the procrastination piece, right? And probably some of these other ones we just listed yeah. off. You're sitting on the fence. There's no danger on sitting on the fence because you really haven't made a commitment one way or the other. But it's kind of fun to kind of analyze all the information. And it makes you feel like you're doing something. It makes you feel like you're working towards an answer. But the longer you're on that fence, really nothing is getting done.
I gotta say, Carlos, for me, it's just the opposite. It's painful to sit on that fence.
Well, yeah, I think once you come to the realization and acknowledge, you know, what it's costing you to ride that fence in terms of opportunity or whatever it happens to be for you, you begin to feel differently about not making decisions quicker and not getting to that next step faster. So you could be on the fence about sending out your marketing material, identifying a particular market or particular style of work, right? Or even raising your rates, like what we talk about so many times on this show. I've had people that I've worked with that when they finally do get around to raising their rates, they're kicking themselves for not having it done it sooner because they realize how much income they've lost. Because while you're sitting there in indecision, you know, thinking about raising your rates, it's costing you money not to make that decision to finally just do it. You don't feel it because it's not money coming out of your pocket per se, but you are losing money. You are losing money the longer you sit there and think about whether or not you should do it or by how much. The quicker you make a decision and the quicker you move and find out whether it's going to work or not work, you're better off than just sitting there wondering if it'll work.
Yeah, and this goes back to that whole thing about picking the right person to help motivate you and move you forward too, because there will be, you know, here's an example. I was talking with my friend the other day, and I mentioned to him that a lot of times when I'm talking with people and they ask me a question pertaining to, you know, something I'm supposed to be doing or whatever, you know, if it's like a, you know, in this sort of coaching mind, there's a way to sort of double speak your way out of certain things. Do you know what I'm saying? So like you can, like somebody asks you a direct question, then you kind of talk around it and you bring up something else and then you get into a little something else. I called him out on this the other day. I asked him a question and he gave me the double speak thing. And I said, look, Rock, just answer the question, you know? And he's like, you're right. You're right. He said, I try to talk myself around it, you know? So, find somebody who is going to push you the way that you need to be pushed and is not going to let you off the hook.
The really successful people in any business, and particularly in the creative arts businesses, that, you know, people have to make a decision. You know, they move forward. They move forward and they bite the bullet. They understand it's a business. And, you know, sometimes it's a crapshoot and a roll of the dice, you know.
You've got to be allowed to fail in order to succeed. I mean, you know, if you don't allow yourself to fail, then you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to be plateaued and stuck where you are.
Sometimes there is no clear cut answer that something's going to work or not. Right. But the only way to find out is to get in there and do it.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to faith in yourself and know that, you know what, if it doesn't work, you're still going to be around and you're going to try it again.
Yeah. And there's, you know, this is something that I tell my kids a lot is, you know, you want to go down swinging. You don't want to step up to the plate and never have swung the bat. You know, there's nothing worse than looking back on something and regretting that you didn't even take a chance. We'll leave you with that sobering thought.
Go take a swing at somebody. Was that what you meant?
No, that's not what I was talking about.
Awesome.
Well, that sounds good. Let's call it a day, Carlos.
All right, man.
So
nice speaking to you again, Bob.
Yeah, it was nice getting together. We'll have to do it again soon.
Absolutely.
So thanks for listening to another episode of Drawn by Success. This is Bob.
And this is Carlos Castellanos.
We'll see you next time.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's segment of Drawn by Success, share it with your friends and colleagues on the social networks, if you know what I mean. Twitter it, Facebook it, email it, share it. We'd really appreciate it. Also, if you're not a subscriber of Drawn by Success yet, I mean, what the hell are you waiting for? You'll get immediate access to subscriber-only kick-ass interviews that we've done in the past. You'll get early bird notification of any special monthly calls that Bob and I are doing or future workshops. And listen, if you find yourself stuck in your creative business and aren't sure how to grow it, how to make more money with your creative thing, I invite you to schedule a 30-minute chat with me. You can email me at carlos@drawnbysuccess.com. Put free call in the subject line and I'll send you out a link so we can schedule that time together, see if we can move you past whatever is holding you back and identify how to get you moving forward to where you want to be.